It is time for Super Cross Talk, and we welcome to the program George Sedano. George, how you doing?
I'm good. Who the hell hasn't watched The Golden Girls?
I just haven't watched the whole episode, but I see it come on all the time because it's on the Hallmark Channel all night.
Like, and it's Nick at Night, I believe.
Yeah, it's on. It's
Hallmark.
Like somebody's getting a trunkload of residuals off of that show.
And George, having grown up in Miami, I'm sure the show was really popular there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, it wasn't really filmed in Miami, but nonetheless, yeah, they were supposed to be in Miami. Kind of like Dexter was supposed to be in Miami.
Does anybody else have a show that was super super popular that you've never seen an episode of? For example,
okay, I got one.
Not an episode. Like, I didn't watch Breaking Bad, but that's because it was too slow to start, and I just I have a 3-episode limit. And but I did see 3 episodes.
Okay, here's mine. You ready for this? And this one, I've said it before, but people are shocked by it, but never seen an episode, not one, of The Simpsons.
Whoa.
Yeah, we've had
this
before. Yep,
yeah.
Not one.
All right, so I've got 2. Okay. Never, ever seen an episode of Star Trek.
Like, not even Captain Kirk?
Not even Captain Kirk. And wow. Never, ever watched an episode of ER.
Really?
Whoa, John, that is totally your type of show, though.
Yeah,
ER.
Just never did it.
Wow.
That one is the Star Trek, whatever. Not everybody's into sci-fi. But ER, knowing how much you like shows like The West Wing and things
right. Yeah,
like that, I'm stunned you didn't watch ER.
I think I'm turned off by hospital shows. I think
Yeah, but that was the best one by far. None of the rest of them have been good since.
Like, I never watched St. Elsewhere.
I didn't watch that either.
Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy. Chicago Hospital, whatever they call it.
Chicago Hope. Chicago Hope.
Hospital.
Well, no, because there's like 3 Chicago shows, right? There's the Chicago Fire, Chicago Police, Chicago Hospital, whatever. Yeah.
All right.
That stuff.
So I want to play some
General Hospital.
General Hospital, never seen it, although there are a lot of hot soap girls on there that I would.
And Stephen A. Smith is on, has a recurring character.
God bless him. Yeah. All right, I'm going to play something for you. Adam Silver had a press conference today.
Uh-oh, here we go.
At the NBA governor's meetings. And I don't know what I expected to happen to Robert Sarver, but after I read the report, the owner of the Suns, I mean, he's a bad guy. I thought they would probably throw the book at him. He got a 1-year suspension and a $10 million fine. But our buddy Howard Beck, who used to be a Lakers beat writer for the LA Daily News in the Shaq Kobe era, asked what I thought was a great question of Adam Silver. You're going to hear Beck ask the question and Adam Silver answer it, and then I want to have you guys react to it. Here it was earlier today in Chicago. George, play the... All right, so Sedano, I'll start with you. What did you think of that answer?
He's caught between a rock and a hard place, basically. I mean... The commissioners of sports, and we all know this because we work in sports, but not everyone in the audience understands this all the time, is that part of their job is to be a piñata for the owners, okay? And in this particular case, he was doing the dance as best he could. Now, I heard Ramona yesterday, John, mention this when we were doing crosstalk, that she doesn't believe this is over, and I would agree because LeBron's already tweeted in the last 7 minutes about this story. So I think that will motivate more players. I don't think players... I heard you talking about this earlier. Why haven't the players spoken yet?
Yeah.
And I think that most players don't know what actually transpired there. Whereas with Sterling, we had heard the stuff for decades, right? Like, it wasn't like that was new to us. And then we had, to your point earlier, because I heard you talk about this earlier, is that there was a smoking gun. There was a tape, right? It was inarguable. So I think... That's why when Ramona said yesterday that this isn't over, I understood what she meant. And I think that now that the details are out, I think people will digest it. And I think there will be more backlash from the players in the league and even people in the league who aren't players, per se. Perhaps coaches, perhaps other employees in the league. And I think that this thing will take on another set of circumstances moving forward is what I already guessed. But my initial reaction is he's trying to do a dance because the owners, by their constitution, have to vote him out. And at the moment, it doesn't seem like they're willing to do that.
It's going to be a question of whether or not it becomes untenable for Robert Sarver to keep owning the Suns. Because after a while, it was untenable with Donald Sterling. Between the player reaction, between the public reaction, between sponsorship opportunities potentially going out the window. Remember with the Dodgers, that was part of with Frank McCourt. Like, ultimately, it's about the money. And the money is going to, in certain respects, keep Robert Sarver there because, as Adam Silver basically said, saying the quiet part out loud, when you are a billionaire, the rules are different for you. But if the money starts making this untenable in different respects, then maybe we move in a direction closer to Donald Sterling, if not all the way there.
Cap, what do you think?
Well, first, I think that usually when you hear a commissioner talk but not say anything, it's usually Roger Goodell. You know, I mean, you don't really hear Adam Silver ever get put into a corner like this where he's trying to figure out on the fly how he's going to talk his way out of it, and he did a terrible job. Cam, you just said it, man.
What would you have done in that situation then?
Well, I don't really know because I wasn't in the situation.
It's hard to say it's a terrible job. Now, I think he's done a pretty good job in the past. Now, he hasn't had to deal with this in this scenario, but I mean, what is he supposed to do if people that he works for say, hey, we're not voting him out? He's got to find a way to come across and explain that without running them under the bus either. So I don't know what he could. I don't know what he could have done that would have made it better.
I'm with Sedano here, Cap. I think that he did. He can't do anything to the owners because he works for them.
But what Andy said was right, which is that what he didn't say, but what he was saying, and everybody can hear it, is the rules are different for the billionaire. That's all.
I think where Adam Silver got in or set himself up poorly was specifically when he said the rights for owners are different than the rights of an employee. Because, and again, I don't think this is how Adam Silver literally meant it, but if you are taking it at its most literal, you are saying as an NBA owner and a billionaire, you have a right to talk this way in a way that an employee doesn't.
Well, if nothing else, you have the right to continue to hold on to your business.
Yes, yeah.
We're not going to force
that
you
is,
out.
That is
yes,
that,
hey,
let
me, that's what he let said. Me,
well, based on the bylaws in the NBA, they unfortunately, that is the reality of it. He can't change those bylaws without getting two-thirds approval.
But, you know, at least, like, can I just tell you guys, though, like, when you look at the NFL and you look at a guy like Daniel Snyder, right? Like, you would think that the NFL owners would say, this guy is bad news for us, and we don't want him in our league anymore. But what they did was they said, oh, we're just making sure that he's not the owner anymore. Now his wife is the owner. It just occurs to me that I believe that Sarver owns, like, I want to say a little less than 40% of the Suns. And you know that means that there are a whole bunch of other people that own percentages of the team. So now everybody who's involved in that ownership group, I only kind of know about this because I know a couple of these dudes, everybody's humiliated. So why doesn't the NBA say, look, we have to have somebody else be the controlling owner?
Well, they do for a year. They need to appoint them. Let me, Sedano mentioned that LeBron had tweeted earlier. Let me read the tweet because I think this is going to change the narrative on this story. This is LeBron 10 minutes ago. Read through the Sarver stories a few times now. I got to be honest, our league definitely got this wrong. I don't need to explain why. You all read the stories and decide for yourself. I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. There's no place in this league for that kind of behavior. I love the league and deeply respect our leadership, but this isn't right. There is no place for misogyny, sexism, and racism in any workplace. Don't matter if you own the team or play for the team. We hold our league up as an example of our values, and this ain't it. That is about as strong of a statement as a player has made against an owner ever.
Well, remember, LeBron actually said almost verbatim the same thing about Sterling.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Like, I just think that, look, if it were me, and I don't know what the bylaws say about this stuff, okay, in the NBA, because I don't know the constitution of the NBA ownership off the top of my head. You know what I mean? I barely remember the amendments of the country, okay? So there's that. But I looked at it, and the thing I thought to myself was when George Steinbrenner got suspended banned from Major League Baseball, and Marge Schott got banned from Major League Baseball, it was definitely 2 years plus, if I recall correctly. But again, everybody's rules are different when it comes to these things. And but if that is indeed the case, that he could not suspend him more than a year, then I am surprised that those are the bylaws for the NBA, considering that Major League Baseball, many, many moons ago, where it was able to do that with Steinbrenner and Marge Schott.
Stuff all the time. Like, leagues make new rules as they go.
But you got to get two-thirds ownership to agree on that stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to remember. Refresh my memory. When Sterling got essentially...
They all voted him out. The only person that vocalized it outwardly was Mark Cuban, and he said, look, I what he did was reprehensible, but what I would say is we're going down the slippery slope if we're just going to take people's teams
away. I remember the phrase slippery slope, but how long did that take? I just don't remember.
It happened fast.
Days, weeks, I don't remember
because,
the exact.
Can I just understand one thing? Are we saying that the Donald Sterling situation is different because there's an audio tape? Like the Ray Rice situation, he was originally suspended 2 games. Once there was a video, he was gone. He was out of the NFL. Is that what this is about? There's no audio?
Yeah, that probably has something to do with it. Hey, Sinano, why do you think that guys who have been outspoken in the past on other things, guys like Chris Paul and Devin Booker, guys on the Suns team, have had nothing to say about this?
I don't know, because I don't know what their interactions were with Robert Sarver. So I don't know. I'm guessing Robert Sarver treats those guys really well. Whereas the problem with Donald Sterling, and the biggest difference between Donald Sterling and Robert Sarver, I've never heard anything that Robert Sarver treats players poorly. I've heard perhaps that maybe he's treated his coaches poorly or his management team poorly, but never the players. Whereas with Donald Sterling, he literally would treat them like pieces of meat. And say things openly towards the players like that. And so I think that it's not just the smoking gun of the videotape or the audio tape or whatever it was. It was a decades long history of Donald Sterling literally treating his players like they were, you know, like he literally owned them.
And
you know
also
what I'm saying?
Donald Sterling was for decades one of the worst owners in sports, and the league wanted to get rid of him for a long time. But these are difficult battles. And, you know, Adam Silver said as much, another quiet part out loud, was basically, this is a tough fight. We're not sure we're up for this fight. And, you know, Sterling was somebody that they really wanted out anyway. And this became, a really easy way to get Donald Sterling out.
And I remember, a specific incident that Baron Davis talked about.
You're fat.
When Donald Sterling said... I cursed him out in the locker room and was sitting there basically Baron told stories about how Donald would bring some of his alleged lady friends around or friends around and be look at this one. You know what I mean? Yeah. He would literally say words like that.
I was like, look at these black bodies. Look at these beautiful bodies. I mean, it was like
Robert Sarver. For as awful as he is, wasn't doing that for decades. So I think that there's a difference, John, if you're asking me why Chris Paul or Devin Booker or so, maybe they don't know, maybe they've heard the stories, but they've never encountered it themselves, because to my knowledge, Robert Sarver, particularly with his players, was like, give them anything they want.
And the Suns also had been reasonably successful under Sarver. Sterling, again, the Clippers were a laughingstock.
Yeah, and he had a 25, 30-year history of treating people lousy.
But he's done, dude. I'm telling you guys right now. They can suspend him for a year, and they can take the $10 million from him, which, by the way, the $10 million doesn't mean anything to him, obviously. But I would think that between now and the end of the year suspension, they will find a way to say, this is such negative publicity for a league that has been so progressive when it comes to race relations in America, particularly over the last 2+ years. There's no way this guy comes back. They'll knock him out before he comes back.
Maybe. All right, well, Sedano and Cap will talk more about this. Supercross Talk is brought to you by Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long. Yeah. Andy and I will be back tomorrow. Coming up next, Sedano and Cap, ESPN LA.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21+ and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah. Bum, bam, bum. Ding, da, da, ding. Bee, ba, da, ba, ba, dig, dig. Come on, George.
Beep, bada, boop. Bing, bum, boom.
Boom, bada, bop. Bing, da, da, ding. Dong, 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 bada, bop.
Yeah.
Bing, bada, bing, bada, dick, dick, dong, doo, 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 bada, bop.
Yeah. By the way, John Ireland is wrong. We are not talking about Robert Sarver anymore.
Seriously, man. That is like, that is not the fun way to drive home. That's the lame. Too serious way to drive home. I got no patience for that, man.
We were going to talk about it once because, you know, it's a big story. The commissioner of the NBA talked. The commissioner of any sport talks. You should probably talk about it. But we're done with it now. I mean, honestly, we've already said what we're going to say. I don't think we're going to say what – I don't think we're going to add anything more to the conversation than we just did for the last 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those stories that I know for me, I'm just like – I'm disgusted by the whole situation.
Right.
From all the accusations to the suspension to the press conference with the legit questions to the bad answers, it's not fun. You know, it's bad news, man. That's all it is. It's really bad news.
Yeah. So we'll see.
I mean, you want to talk about the Queen today? You want to talk about like the procession? You want to talk about that? Is that fun to you?
Robert Wilkins tweets us in the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust. We got to come up with a code name for John Ireland's serious/Uber sports focused versions of Crosstalk.
Mm-hmm.
So the community can feel free to get in there. So
I don't think there's a secret name for that. I feel like that's just a thing.
Well, we know we're in trouble when Ireland goes, guys, let me play something for you.
Oscars speech the other day.
Well, I mean, there's some inspiration to that one at least, you know. And
the Emmy.
This is just bad news, dude.
Yeah. So, anywho, here's what I do want to talk about. Good news.
Talk to me.
So, I was watching the Dodgers celebration yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you watch any of it?
Yeah, of course.
And here's what I just immediately came to my mind.
Tell me.
People really need to appreciate this era of Dodger baseball.
You've got to appreciate.
The Clayton Kershaw era, right? Mm-hmm. Like, let's just call it. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair era to call it?
Sure. I think Clayton Kershaw is the one guy who's been here throughout the entire thing.
Right. So, I know what people say. What? Oh, we want to win a championship every year. This is L.A. You got to win it. 100%. None of that is being disputed. That you and I have talked about this numerous times. I think two things can be true at once. Yes, the goal of this team is to win a championship and has been for many, many years. And they were able to win it in 2020 after, you know, 32 years of not winning a championship. But you should also kind of take a moment, sit back, and appreciate the greatness and the sustained greatness. Because not every franchise, including ones here, go through that stretch of 10 straight seasons of just in, or 11 out of 10, I guess, of just sustained success. And it's funny because I know you like talking about legacy, Cappy.
Mm. Loved it. I watched the episode last night when I got home. Did you watch it this week?
I had already seen it before you. Look at that. Okay. See, I'm already ahead of you.
So you saw the Shaq Kobe first championship. You saw that one already?
Yes, before you did, yes.
Yeah, I know. Well, good. I'm glad you saw it because I want to talk about it.
Okay. So, but remember that stretch where, like, you know, obviously, you know, the Lakers losing the finals to the Bulls, and then, you know, Magic has his, you know, unfortunate circumstance with HIV. And, you know, basically for a decade, right, the Lakers were not the Lakers anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, in that era, Dr. Buss talks about just like, just wanting one more, just wanting to get back to get one more, right?
Right. Well, because you'd gotten them and you had that taste, and then you almost get drunken into this is what it's supposed to be every year.
Correct.
And then when they take it away from you, and not just for 1 year, but for 10 years, you're just battling, doing anything you can to give me one more taste. That's why Tom Brady's still playing, by the way, right? Just give me one more chance. One more.
Sure. It's like a, you know, it's like an addiction, you know, in a lot
Total.
Of ways.
Total.
So what I would add to that is because of that, that people here should have that context of, oh yeah, it can turn really fast. Like, by the way, for, you know, we don't have to go back that far. How about the recent era of Lakers basketball where there was seven straight seasons of not making the postseason, for God's sake? Forget about the era that Dr. Buss was talking about where, yeah, you know, they'd make the playoffs and, you know, maybe there was a year or two where they didn't. There was two seasons they didn't, but, you know, they made the playoffs, they'd get bounced early or whatever. There was a seven straight seasons of nada, nothing.
Right.
So what I'm saying with the Dodgers is just appreciate. You can do both things. You can say, hey, they got to win a championship. And you can also say, man, I'm going to sit back and just kind of take a deep breath and enjoy this and not be, you know, a party pooper like John Ireland, not to, you know, not to bemoan Ireland. But I've been hearing him for 2 days talking about the Dodgers shouldn't have celebrated. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Baseball is a marathon, dude. Like, you should absolutely celebrate winning a division for the 10th time in 11 seasons. It's like, you know, that doesn't happen that often in the history of the sport.
Right, but don't forget also that last year they did not. So, you know, celebrating last night, and I understand where John's coming from and other people are coming from. Like,
do
dude,
you?
Well, just but it's like this is commonplace
for
you.
It's like Ebenezer Scrooge type stuff.
No, but hold on. But on the other hand, like, while I can understand where their opinion is based, on the other hand, it's like, first of all, we didn't win it last year. That's number one.
Right.
And number two, we've run away with this thing.
Yeah.
And you know what? Let's celebrate our successes. And so the first success is winning the division. So what are we all supposed to do? Go, congratulations. Nice to have you. Congratulations. Here's a bottle of water. No, I mean, it's like, dude, we have just had an incredible season that it's not over yet, but we've already, you know, put the division championship in the bank. Let's celebrate our success.
Well, and here's the thing. I'm with you 1,000,000%, okay? We live in this microwave society, Cappy, where everyone wants, like, instant gratification. And it's like, dude, okay. It's kind of like, and you don't play video games, but, like, the people out there who have played video games, like sports games particularly, like, I hate the person who simulates the season and then just goes straight to, like, the playoffs and the championship rounds of their video game. Like, dude, just play the game for a little bit. You know, get good at it. And then you can enjoy kind of the ride. And then maybe you could skip a game here or there, some time there. But, like, enjoy the game a little bit. And it's no different in real sports. Baseball is a 162-game grind, man. Like, you should celebrate every second of it. And I heard him saying to Greg, oh, you're going to celebrate after winning the first round? Yes, you are. Because nothing is a given. And of all the sports, the four major professional sports in this country, Major League Baseball, the National Football League, the National Basketball Association, and the National Hockey League, okay? Out of those four, Cappy, Major League Baseball has the most different champions, particularly in the modern era, okay? It's the most random of them all. One ground ball can change the fate of a lot of people. Okay, that goes through somebody's legs or something, or a foul ball.
The truth about that.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, Tony Fernandez, right? 1997. You're an Indians fan. How about the Chicago Cubs? I was there. I mean, I watched that thing up close, Cap, the whole Bartman thing.
Was it the Jeffrey Mayer game? Is that what the guy's name?
Jeffrey Mayer for the Baltimore Orioles,
right?
Like,
that was the Yankees
and
the
Orioles. All
these
moments can happen in a flash.
What was the guy's name in Chicago? What was the guy's name that
Steve Bartman.
Oh, Steve Bartman. Moises Alou was trying to make that play, right? And then Bartman got him, yeah. He got Bartman.
And then, but you know what happened? Like, that play, not to belabor that, but you know what happened on the very next play?
I don't recall.
Alex Gonzalez, I believe, was the shortstop for the Chicago Cubs. He booted a ball on the next play.
Yep. See, nobody remembers
that. Nobody
that.
Talks about Alex Gonzalez booting the ball on the next play, but everyone talks about the foul ball that Bartman caught.
So, I think what you're saying is...
So, live in the moment is what I'm saying. Just live in the moment.
I hear what you're saying, because listen, like, in the last couple of nights...
Carpe diem!
Nice job. Way to use the Latin right there. The last couple of nights, have you seen a few different plays that Mookie Betts has made? One was at second base, where he scoops a ball in his glove, and he doesn't have time to take it with his hand and throw it to first base, so he underhands it with his glove to first base, gets the out. And then last night, this insane catch that he makes as he's running towards the foul line, and he slides to make this catch, and then he jumps right back up and kind of looks over at the bullpen like, yo, that's what I do.
Yo.
What Dodger fans are seeing right now and what they've seen in this last 10 years is just, it's greatness. Now,
it is the greatest stretch of Dodger baseball in Los Angeles, okay? Like, maybe in Brooklyn there was a better stretch.
I don't know. I'd have to ask my grandmother, but she's no longer here.
In Los Angeles, okay, there is not a better stretch of sustained success in the history of the franchise than what you're witnessing at the moment.
Fair point. And here's what I would say. Okay, it's okay, I think, for everybody to appreciate how great this era is, still is, not has been, but still is.
Correct.
And by the same token, it's okay, I think, I'm not telling you whether it is or it isn't, I mean, it's up to you guys, but it's okay to also, and I'm going to put this in air quotes, demand a championship, because for all of the success that there has been, there's only been one. And the one championship that the Dodgers do have, we all know, came in the shortened season. So you'd like to see them actually finish this thing off, because when you think about dynasties, like, for example, the Buffalo Bills, that was a dynasty. It's just that they lost four straight Super Bowls.
You have to at least win a championship to be a dynasty. In my definition, you have
okay,
to
well, they lost four straight Super Bowls, but they got there four straight years, and we've never seen anybody ever do anything close to that since, at least not four straight. Same goes for the Atlanta Braves.
They won one, though. 95.
Yes, but I'm not some Braves historian, but I know that as I was coming up, I remember how many times the Braves were there seemingly every year, and they only, I'm putting that in quotes, only finished it off one time. So
yeah,
while
they,
the Dodgers
they were there 4 out of 5 years.
So while the Dodgers have been there and they do have a ring, they do not have a ring in a 162 game season. It's not a discredit to the year that they won it, because that's what baseball presented. You know, baseball said we have to have a shortened season due to COVID. That's what they did. And the Dodgers won it that year, period. It's not up for debate. Some people have a different way of looking at it. But I'm sure Dave Roberts, Kershaw, Betts, I mean, every last one of them would like to actually finish it off in the marathon season, not the sprint season. So I hear where you're coming from, George. Appreciate the greatness in the now. By the same token, demand the finish. Because if they don't finish it off this year, we're all going to look back and go, man, that may have been the best team they ever had. Certainly was the best record they ever had, and they didn't get it done.
I'm with you. By the way, in since 2000, do you know how many different teams have won the World Series?
How many teams have won the World Series since 2000? I'm just going to think about this for a second. The Giants won it 3 out of 5 years, so there's one team.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I'll say there's two Yankees ones from 2000 on.
Okay, so there's five World Series between two teams.
There's three Red Sox ones.
Okay, so that's three teams and eight World Series. So I'm going to just take a guess here, and I'm going to say 7. 8. 9? 11? How many teams in the last 22 years have won the World Series?
Let's do this. All right. The Yankees won in 2000. Let's just do the math. Ready? Okay. The Yankees won in 2000.
Okay.
The Diamondbacks won in 2001. The Angels won in 2002. The Marlins won in 2003. The Red Sox won in 2004. The White Sox won in 2005.
Right.
The Cardinals in 2006. So every year that's already a different one, and that's 7 years.
Right.
Then the Red Sox again. Okay. The Phillies, won one in 2008. The Yankees won again. That's another repeat. Okay. The Giants won their first one, So that's 9.
That's 9, right?
Yeah. The Cardinals
I'm counting
won
on my fingers. I'm running out of fingers, George.
Cardinals won again. Giants won again. Red Sox won again. Giants won again. Royals, that's 10. Cubs,
10.
That's 11. Astros, that's 12. Nationals, that's 13. Dodgers, that's 14, okay? And then the Braves last year, that's 15.
Okay, so 15 teams.
15 in 23 seasons that were played.
Okay, so what are you saying?
That's a lot of different types of teams is my point, which makes it really hard for the Dodgers to win.
It's actually surprising how many teams have won it 2 or 3 times in that group that you just mentioned.
It's basically the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Giants. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Everyone else is a first-time winner. Well, there's Cardinals in there.
Think about that. Think about, like, Kansas City. The Royals actually won a World Series 1 year. Yeah.
The Cubs! I mean, for God's sake. They didn't win in 100 years.
Right, but don't forget the Red Sox guys who you know, let people finally, I can finally die. I've seen the Red Sox win. Those same group of dudes went over to Chicago, and they kind of duplicated the situation.
Right. So, anyway, my point is just enjoy it, man. Just enjoy it. It's very simple. Just enjoy it. Hey, SoFi Stadium Tour. We're giving away 4 passes. You can get an exclusive look at all the areas of the stadium, including locker rooms, premium suites, post-game interview rooms, and you run through the players' tunnel. Listen to the show all week long and all day today, and we're going to do that in the last hour. We're going to give away a 4-pack of tickets, so make sure you stay tuned for that. All right, coming up next, Cappy, I do want to get further into the narrative about the Dodgers. I want to have a big Dodgers day today. I want to get into some more Dodgers stuff. So we'll get into that coming up on the other side. Stick around. 710 ESPN, back in 2 minutes.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Come on. Go, Cappy.
Do it. Do your thing, Georgie. Come on, man.
No, you do it. You're the
Hold
guy.
On. I got to feel it. Hold on. Yeah.
This is one of the best songs he's ever had. I would agree. I mean, this is in the conversation, at least.
Would you like agree, this Cappy? Jam, do you?
Yeah, wouldn't you agree?
I don't know. It depends. I got to see if Alex Toussaint ever uses his song on his Club Bangers rides. I was doing a Hit in Hills this morning with Alex Toussaint.
This wasn't like this is like, if you like hip hop, this is like hardcore. Like you know this song. Like, you know, if you just like hip hop at all, I know it's not your jam necessarily, because it's not like this was like some sort of like Billboard chart pop, you know, song.
Most hip hop isn't.
Isn't, but nowadays I feel like hip hop is part of the culture, so it, like, most of them now are on the charts, right? Like, at least to some effect. This is Nas, Cappy.
I kind of feel like I knew that.
No, you didn't.
Well, if anybody would have asked me, I might have said Nas.
There's no way you would have said that.
You don't think?
No. Nope.
There's a chance.
I mean, like 1 in 100 chance.
I was watching CNBC, and they have an abbreviation for the NASDAQ. It's NAS, and it flashed on the screen. And if you would have said, "Who is this?" I would have either said Dow or NAS.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they keep flashing the two of them. So maybe I would have had a chance.
Bad joke, Cap.
Well, it really wasn't a joke. It really actually legitimately happened.
Yeah. So that song, Nas is Like, he created, that was after Notorious B.I.G. passed away. And he was just like, he wanted to like show that he was like the king of New York rappers.
Oh, the king. Really? I thought I was the king.
Hey, king.
Hey, king.
I was going to do that.
What up,
you
king?
Are- All king, but not the king.
Oh,
by the way,
king.
I was going to bring that up during crosstalk and like have some fun with that, and then we made the hard left turn to Robert Sarver, so I never got that conversation in about how we've come up with a better version of Ask Lee. I feel like.
So just to follow up on that, because I know a lot of the circle of trust in the Sedano and Cap community on Twitter have now, everybody's hitting me up with, "Hey, king." Like somebody yesterday said to me, "Hey, king, can you get me Lakers season tickets and a parking pass?" So it wasn't enough to just ask for Lakers season tickets. You needed it to come with a parking pass. There's been a lot of really outrageous requests recently, because now everybody knows that if you hit me with the "Hey, king" at the beginning, you know, I get flattered. I get, you know, all of a sudden maybe I want to, you know, pull this thing off. So, George, just to again, close the circle here. This morning, I had no choice. I had to just give it at least an ounce of effort, just a little bit of effort. Mm-hmm. So I made a call, and I said to somebody, "Hey, king," I swear to you, I said this to somebody. I said, "Hey, king, you do me a little favor this weekend?" "Sure, what can I do for you?" I said, "Hey, no pressure. And I'm a great reciprocator, so I'm happy to reciprocate. You think you could pull two tickets for me for the Saints-Bucks this Sunday down in New Orleans?" And this person, of course, flattered by the fact that I called him king, then came back to me about 20 minutes later and said, "Give me the email, king. You're good." So you see what I'm saying, George? I couldn't help myself. I had to pull it off. Once she called me king, that was it. Had to get those tickets. Bucks,
yeah,
Saints, Sunday.
You're also cheap.
Make no mistake. That is not an insult. That's a fact.
No, but you've said this a million times. You're also cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So I would rather just not bother someone and just buy the tickets.
Yeah. Yeah, not me.
You're okay with bothering people.
Well, bothering is one way of looking at it. Reciprocating, which is how I look at it, that's my way. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now I will tell you this.
Now, will you reciprocate the king that got you those tickets? Will you reciprocate? How will you reciprocate for him?
I said to that king, I said, "King, whatever you need me to do for you, you just call on me. I now owe you a favor." So that king now has it in his memory bank that when he needs something and he thinks maybe that king, maybe King Kaplan can help me out, then he's going to call me and he's going to say, "Hey, king, remember that time I got you those Saints Bucks ticks?" And I'm going to go, "Yeah." And he's going to say, "Well, now I need something from you."
Like, and what do you think you can get for him?
It depends. Depends on what he needs. Mm. You know, I have a philosophy that everything is just a phone call away.
Yeah.
So he'll call me at some point, and he'll say, "Hey, King.
Hey, King.
I need you to. I'm calling in the reciprocation card."
Yeah.
And then he's going to say something to me like
it's like having a credit on the charge account.
Correct. And then if it's easy and I can pull it off, like, and I've got control of it, awesome, easy. If it's a little more difficult,
then what do you do?
Then I'm going to have to call yet another king.
Right, and you have to you're basically going to have to call in a favor for the favor that you called in.
It's kind of like re-gifting, you know what I mean? Like somebody gives you a gift.
You're the guy that just asks everybody for favors until everybody in the world, you owe everyone in the world a favor.
Well, but I'm good at I'm good at reciprocating. Very good.
But you would literally, you're the guy.
I'm the guy, hold on, because you're going to tell me what guy I am, but I'm going to tell you what guy I am.
Go ahead. You tell me.
I'm the guy that's moving the pieces around the board.
Right, you're moving the shells around is what
right,
you're doing.
Right, right.
You maxed out on your credit card limit, and then you made one payment so you can pay the guy, you can get a new favor done.
So when this king gets me these tickets for this game, I then owe him a favor. He'll then call me at some point, and he'll say, "Hey, I'm
so
cashing in that favor."
You owe two favors for favor that you asked originally.
Right now, when those tickets come to me, I'm going to owe a king a favor.
Right, but then if that guy comes to you for something that you don't have the means to get, you're then going to have to call in a second favor. So right. Then you're two favors in the hole.
No, I'm only one favor in the hole because I've paid the first king, and now I owe the second king. See the difference?
I mean, you do owe a second king, but you could have easily just then found a way to just resolve it without asking for another favor. But you're okay basically just kicking the can down the road on favors is what you're saying.
Yes, I think that you have done a very good job of analyzing the situation. Very nice work by you.
I'm not. I don't like to feel like I owe anyone a favor or anything. I just rather just take care of it. Like,
see, I like to repay.
I repay too. Like I literally pay.
No, right. You don't repay. You pay. You pay up front. I repay.
Right.
There's a slight difference there.
Yeah. You're putting it on a credit card. Your favors. You have a favor credit card.
There's a bank. There was a bank of favors.
Yeah.
And this king was
you
able
pulled
to
out a loan of favors.
And
then
now,
what you're doing is you're refinancing the loan.
Well, someone's going to come back to me and they're going to say, "Hey, remember that time I got you those Bucks Saints tickets?" I'm going to go, "Yeah."
And then you refinance the loan with another favor.
And they're going to say, "Well, now I need this from you." And I'm going to say, "Okay, I'm going to go to work on it. No problem."
You're the reason that the housing market crashed in 2008 because of that. Because of all those favors. Everybody's doing 1% arms. You're that guy. Your favors are 1% arms.
I'm a 1% arm.
Yeah.
Cap, what would you say is like the return on those favors that you get back?
Equal to or greater than.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, equal to or greater than. Don't you think isn't that the right thing to do?
Yeah, but I mean, I just feel like you always talk about people taking advantage of you and how you're kind of like a pushover or like a softie. And so I feel like I could see a lot of people requesting and you fulfilling said favors and then not receiving anything in return.
But here's the thing. You ready? The way that I repay is when the person who did the favor calls in the favor. Now, if the person says, "Hey, listen, you know what, man? You needed a favor. I'm a friend. I came through. We're all good. Don't even worry about it." And that's lovely. That's wonderful. That's how the world goes round and round. But if, in fact, this person, this particular king, comes to me and says, "Hey, remember that time I got you those tickets?" "Yes, I do."
"Yeah,
now king. I need this from you." And I'll say, "You got it, King. I'll work on it."
Mm. Okay.
Laura, you did not sound...
She gave a
Yeah,
that she thinks it's
this
sus.
This whole conversation has me saying a lot of things behind the scenes.
Right? Doesn't it sound sus? He's literally just kicking the can down the road on favors.
Yeah, Cappy, I love you, man, but what the hell? You got a mansion.
I do not have a mansion. I wish I had a mansion. I should be so lucky as to have a mansion.
You work hard, though, and you do make connections. You do network well, so, you know. It's still sus, though.
Yeah. Is it? By the way, it's not hella sus, is it?
No, it's just sus. I'll take the hella out.
All right, cool.
But by the way, for people that are wondering why we're talking about King and Hey King, Cappy said, if you missed this earlier, Cappy said his daughter, when she wants something out of him, she just starts the conversation by calling him, and the first words out of her mouth is, "Hey King."
Right.
It makes you feel, she butters you up.
Right. Once she says, "Hey King," I know that she either wants me to send money or she needs something.
Yeah.
And as the story goes just the other day, I told it where she said, hey, King, can you do me a favor and get me tickets to see the Saints and the Bucks this Sunday? And I said, that's a really, really hard ticket to get.
Yeah.
Meaning that at that point, I was hoping she was going to say something like, oh, okay, thanks anyway, Dad. And what she said was, I have confidence in you, King. At that point, I am, Lindsay, I really, it bothers me that I have to agree with you in this circumstance.
She's basically a bench over the royal throne there.
Yeah, I'm a pushover. It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that you don't like that. I'm just saying, like, you're very nice. You're a very generous person. And I feel like people ask more of you than you ask of others.
No, your kids, his kids definitely do that. But that's part of the
deal. Just everybody in general, I feel like. You know, Cappy.
I mean,
Cappy, Cappy's always talking about how somebody wants something hooked up for something.
I've never asked you for a thing, Cappy.
No, not you, but, you know.
No, but I'm just saying, like, I do a lot of people not in your family ask you for stuff?
Well, like, good question.
How about
George?
This? Let answer that question on the other side.
All right.
I also didn't get to this whole narrative about the Dodgers that I wanted to address. And in all this talk about legacy and sports documentaries, there is one sports documentary that I'm 1,000,000% in on that's going to debut in a couple weeks, okay? I'll tell you what that is on the other side. Cappy, I know you like those National Food Day stuff we talk about. You ready for this one today?
Yeah, tell me.
National Cream-Filled Donut Day. You like a cream-filled donut?
When I was younger, I used to love a Dunkin' Donuts chocolate cream-filled donut.
Yeah, but was it the white powdered one with the chocolate filling? Yeah,
yes.
That one was good. Yeah.
It was really good. Yeah. Now, I don't get donuts frequently, but when I do, this is like the most interesting man in the world.
You got to go to Randy's.
Moment.
Do you get Randy's down there?
No. But I will say, like, for me, I'm a strawberry jelly donut guy.
No, that's gross.
Strawberry jelly. So the cream
That's like viejo stuff.
It's like what?
Viejo.
Like Mission Viejo?
No, like old people.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Laura, jelly donut inside? I mean, that's old people stuff, no? Viejo? Laura? Hello?
All right, what's up?
What?
Hello?
Jelly
donut.
Talking to me? You need
Hello?
Me?
What's
jelly
going on?
Donut. Hello? What do you think of when you think of jelly? Who eats a jelly donut?
Kids.
Or kids? No,
little
I don't
kids.
Think of kids. My kids don't like jelly donuts.
I was saying that I'd rather have a jelly donut rather than a cream-filled donut.
What about like a frosted donut? Like with a topping, like a frosted.
I'm like a very simple guy. I like an old-fashioned. I like
those
a glazed.
Those are good. I do not like those.
No,
I like jelly donut holes, like the little munchkins.
No,
but I don't like the whole donut.
I feel like jelly
ones.
In general is just overrated.
I just like the one where it's just like a tiny little bit of jelly in there, the little tiny guy.
I didn't know jelly's rating. Where are they on the top 25?
I feel like they'd be pretty high, right?
Nah, I mean not for me. Maybe in general, I don't know. I'm not a jelly donut person. I actually love this new era of donuts with like the crazy things and toppings on it. Now I don't love like. Bacon and stuff on my donuts because I like to kind of separate my sweet and savory. But dude, I had a Nutella donut at Randy's Donuts in Torrance.
When you say a Nutella donut, does that mean that it's a donut with Nutella on it, or is it a
Nutella? Okay. Nutella on it, and then it's got like graham cracker shavings on it. Oh my god, it was incredible.
Yeah, see, like I'm a very simple person.
Okay, I'm taking you to Randy's Donuts. I'm going to make you have that Nutella.
I'll try it.
It's good.
But you see, the thing is, like, if I go to a yogurt shop, right?
Yeah.
And you know how, like, you get your yogurt and then you put toppings on it?
Yeah.
I don't have any toppings. No toppings.
I mean, none? Not even, like,
zero.
Fruit?
No fruit. Ugh, fruit. I don't want fruit with my yogurt. No.
Really? Fruit is good. Depends
no
on,
fruit.
Especially those strawberries they put in there are, like sugared up strawberries, too. So it's,
no.
Like, you know.
I don't want pineapple chunks. I don't
no.
want strawberries. I don't
How about
want
some
blueberries.
Blueberries are good for you.
I don't want any fruit on my frozen yogurt. I just have the frozen yogurt. Mm. So Again, I'm simple when it comes to donuts, frozen yogurt, stuff like that. But again, I'd rather have a jelly donut more so than a cream-filled donut. At this stage of the game, George.
At this stage of the game?
The game, right.
At the old game?
No, you said the young game.
Yeah, but see, we have a little bit of a tech issue, so I wasn't really paying attention. But now that I understand the conversation, Zidane was definitely right.
Es para los viejos.
Yeah.
Really?
Sorry, Cappy.
It's all right. It's all right.
I kind of wanted to be on your side, but then I actually got the whole context of the conversation. I'm like, damn, I was wrong.
Like, my kids love, like, at Randy's Donuts, they love, like, the Oreo raised donut. They like the Nutella one. They like the M&M raised one. The s'mores one, like, there's a lot of good ones there, man.
At that point, though, shouldn't you just, like, eat, like, a cupcake?
I mean, you could, but maybe you
I feel like
donut.
They have a lot.
But maybe
yeah,
you like the donut consistency as opposed to a cake consistency.
That's a good point.
Can I just tell you one thing, though? And I think this is somewhat important, and maybe you guys could tell me how to handle this. Mm-hmm. You just said a s'mores donut, right?
Yeah.
Can I tell you the one thing I like least about my girlfriend?
Is that she likes s'mores?
Nope.
Oh, what?
It's that she says schmores rather than s'mores.
Really? Why would she say schmores?
She, for some reason, thinks they're called schmores.
Maybe she'd be like, you know, maybe that's where Chris got shit on him.
I don't know, but I say to her all the time, I'm like, it's not a schmore, it's a s'more.
And what did she say to you?
And she said, well, how do you know? And I said, I just think everybody calls it a s'more, not a schmore. And if you don't stop saying that, I don't think this relationship can go on much longer.
And then she's going to say, well, then you're going to lose your accountant.
That's right. So it's Calendly me, and we'll discuss it.
She got you wrapped, Cappy. Wrapped.
It's literally a contraction of the word or the phrase,
whoa.
Some more.
Whoa.
Some more. Randy's, some more, right?
Randy's Donuts has a maple raised with churros.
Con churros?
Little churros on top.
Si, con churros?
Guess what I got today as I walked into the building?
Un burrito?
No.
Oh.
So, you know Alex, the security guard? Shout out to Alex, the security guard downstairs.
Yeah, shout out to Alex, the security guard.
So, apparently his girl makes treats, and he gave me little churro cheesecake bite treats.
What?
Oh, yeah. Why would he do that to you?
Yeah.
Churro cheesecake bite? That sounds incredible.
Aren't you guys going to be in the studio tomorrow?
Mañana.
Not good for the diet. Not good for
so
the diet.
So I can
Cappy.
Save them in the fridge for us if you guys want some.
Yeah.
No, because
Al Pacino, not that Al Pacino, but we have
which
a
Al Pacino? There's another Al Pacino?
Yeah, Alex Vart. He goes by
Vart.
Al Pacino. No, Vart with a V. He goes by Al Pacino on Twitter, and he's in our circle of trust, and he just sent a picture of the of some Randy's donuts.
The churro with the cheesecake infused.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's like out of this world delish.
Oh, my God.
But I'm like, do I really want to do that? But if it came from Alex, the security guy and his girlfriend, he's a sweetheart of a guy.
He is a sweetheart of a guy.
Angel. Every time I walk into the building, he says, how you doing? I go, good. How are you? He then goes to the elevator. He opens the elevator for me. He holds the door. He pushes the button to where I'm going. And then he says, have a great show. And I say, you have a great show. And so it's turned into quite a nice relationship, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great. Real quick, Cappy, before I get to the Dodgers thing and we're backing up on this. See, I'm like you now. Now I'm owing favors. I'm owing teases at this
point. Why? What happened?
I'm just kicking the can down the road. I asked you a question before we went to break, like about because Lindsay says everyone asks you for favors, that you're always doing stuff for stuff. And I'm like, well, I never asked you for anything. Like, I don't, first of all, I don't like to bother stuff, but you were about to tell me a story, and we only have 2 minutes, so briefly tell us the story of something that
you
was
asked me. You asked me, does my family ask me for favors? My sister lives in Tampa. She said, hey, can you possibly get me some Rays tickets? Like, I don't know who the Rays were playing.
I mean, that's easy to get, though.
Come on.
They have like 10,000 people at these games.
I know, but I was because I've gotten her tickets. She'll call me and she'll go, hey, can you get me some tickets for the Lightning? And I used to have a buddy
of mine. Well, that's
tougher. Well, but I had a friend of mine who was like a front office exec with the Lightning. So on rare occasions, I might call in a favor. She asked me for the Rays, and I was like, ooh, that's going to require a lot of work. So, no, I have no connections. Then she said to me, hey, you got any rental car connections? I'm like, okay, stop. No, no, I don't. I'm like, if you want one
What's
ticket to see
them. Name?
Her name's Melissa.
Melissa.
Yep.
We need to have Melissa on the show.
Yeah.
I mean, we've already had Pops on the show.
True.
And Rachel.
Right. Kids.
Yeah.
It's true.
Let's get Melissa on and ask her why she needs you for a rental car hookup.
I know.
When she can just rent a car.
That's what I said. She's like, you got a rental car hookup? I'm like, who has rental car hookups? That's
Nobody.
Something I don't have that in my repertoire.
Yeah. You know what a rental car hookup is? When you rent a car so much because of business that you get a couple free you get a free day here.
Right. Like right. She's like, well, what do you do when you need to rent a car? I'm like, I use points. Like Amex points or, you know, Chase reward points, whatever. That's how I do it.
Right. Yeah, Melissa.
Maybe what her next question was going to be was like, yo, can I get some of them points?
Yeah. It might have been. I've had family members do that. My niece did that to me once.
She hit you up for points?
For hotel points. And I did it. And I was just like, because now it was an emergency situation. So my sister called me crying. And my sister never does that. Because my sister's a tough, you know what, cookie. Mm-hmm. And it was a really tough spot. Like, and I was just like, yeah, of course. Because it was that. But then it was funny. I was going to use the points for something else. I was like, oh, I forgot. I just blew a couple hundred thousand points.
Now she owes you a favor, George.
That my niece is never going to pay me back that favor. Never. In my wildest dreams. I would never make my sister do it. So, but clearly with Melissa, you have a different relationship.
Well, I'm going to have to get a Tampa Bay Rays relationship. And
I mean, dude, you can go on StubHub and get like race tickets for like $6.
I should have done that.
Yeah. Like they're under costs. Right. And like, I should have buy them for under face value.
Right. Because then she'd be like, oh, my brother hooked this up. My brother totally hooked me up with some tickets. In the meantime, I spent $12.
I'm going to Google this right now.
I'm pretty sure that they give them away out there because my uncle lives down there. And he was saying how when he went to see the Indians game or Guardians game, that it was like a 7-Eleven or like a gas station deal. If you buy like a slushie, you got free Tampa Bay Rays tickets.
Yeah, look, Tampa Bay Rays, September 14th at the Toronto Blue Jays. Let me see home games. Let me see.
They got to be less than like $10.
Well, there's probably not very many left is the whole problem. You know what I mean? These are road games. Hold on. Let me see if I find.
Come on, George.
Dude, you can literally buy a playoff game. Oh, no. Here, hold on. Let me see. Oh, no. They're like $20, $18, $7, $4.
I should have just bought like the $4 cheap seats, you know, and said, hey,
you would have paid more in fees.
Of course, naturally. I should have got her the $4 tickets and said, hey, my buddy told me that these are the cheapest tickets, but he said you can feel free to move right behind home plate because there won't be anybody there. And then she could have done that. And then when she got there,
Houston
and the
Astros
was like...
Houston Astros at Tampa Bay. Houston Astros. Like, that's a great team.
Yeah, and?
$7 is the cheapest seat.
I should have done that. Gosh, I don't know why I don't think of this stuff.
Yeah, $7.
Next time I'm going to call you and ask you if you can buy those tickets for me, and I'll Venmo you.
And then you'll owe me a favor for like $14.
Right. Yeah. I'm calling in a $14 favor, George.
Yeah. Right. And I'll be like, all right, Cappy, pick me up some Jersey mics on the way in.
What do you want? You want a number 7 on white?
No, I like a Mike's Chicken Philly.
Oh, I love a Mike's Chicken Philly.
Yeah. Double meat and avocado on wheat bread.
I like it Mike's way, too. I want the lettuce, tomato, the onion. I want the sauce and the juice and the whole thing.
No. Just give me the chicken, the cheese, and some avocado. Boom.
And you double up on the meat, huh?
Ya tú sabes.
Sounds like a $20 sandwich.
Little extra protein. Nah, $13, bro.
Come on.
Yeah.
It's $13 for just
a regular. What kind of Jersey Mike's are you going to, bro? Beverly Hills or something? Like, I don't know. I'm just getting the regular one. I'm not getting the huge monster sandwich, you know?
The giant.
Yeah. Oh, we got a wrap. Laura's sister wrap. All right, we didn't do the Dodgers stuff. We didn't do the documentary stuff. All that will come up after What You Need to Know Next.